Isn't God good? Isn't he good? You know, I can't believe you're already in December. It's already December. It feels like January was yesterday. It's December, you know. You know, Job said something. He says, God gives and he takes away. But I've never really known God to take away. He doesn't. And anytime God takes away from you, it's because he's preparing you for something bigger. That's the only reason why he will take whatever you have away. So he is good. Hallelujah. I want us this morning to look at a story in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. You all know this story very well. Luke chapter 24. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. How many of you are enjoying the morning service? Yes. Praise God. Yes. I like that, Clive. I like that. And I pray that God will raise more people like Nana, like Lisbeth, like me in this house and bring glory to his name. Luke chapter 24. From verse 1 downwards. And I read from the Amplified. It says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared to finish anointing the body. And they found the large circular stone rolled back from the tomb. But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In other words, what they were looking for wasn't there when they got there. Next verse, please. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them. And as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you look for the living among those who are dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be given over into the hands of sinful men. Men whose way or nature is to act in opposition to God and be crucified, and on the third they rise from the dead. And they remembered his words. And having returned from the tomb, they reported all these things, taken together to the 11 apostles and to all the rest. Now, never mind Jesus. If Borat told me that he would die and raise again in 3 days' time, I would believe him. Because you don't forget something like that. You know, when somebody says, look, I'm going to die and in 3 days I'll wake up, you don't forget something like that. You can never forget something like that. But I find it quite interesting that these ladies who were with Jesus completely forget the fact that Jesus says, I'm going to die and in 3 days wake up. They completely forget. And it's more interesting because this is somebody, it's not just anybody. This is Jesus. This is somebody that they had seen him do so many miracles. So many miracles. They'd been with Jesus. They had seen him walk on water. Not seen him walk on water, but they've heard he'd walked on water. He's raised the dead back to life. He's healed them. He's provided for so many with so little. I mean, at one point, even the disciples said, who is this that even the winds and the sea obey? I mean, who is this? I mean, he just did mind-blowing miracles. Miracles that was way beyond their level of consciousness. Miracles that they couldn't even fathom in a million years how he was doing it. And this is the same guy who is saying, look, I'm going to die, and then in 3 days I'll wake up. They still didn't believe it. And it tells me two things. Is that one, they didn't really believe that Jesus would wake up, or two, they just didn't want to be bothered about the fact that he said what he said he would do. They completely chose to ignore the fact that he said he would wake up again. Or it's just they didn't believe it. And I know this because when we go to the very beginning of Luke chapter 24, he says, very early in the morning, at the crack of dawn, it says, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, these guys had a plan. They set out to go and anoint the body with spices. Now, you don't set out to go and do something like that if you really believe that he's not there. They really thought he was there. That's why they went up. And so nothing. Spices, preparing spices, it wasn't an easy task. Getting the materials and the time to prepare it and then bringing it all the way there, it wasn't an easy task. So for, as far as they were concerned, they believed that really Jesus was there. So they didn't believe what Jesus said, that look, in 3 days' time, I'll get up. They didn't believe it at all. Anyway, so they had a plan and they set out to go and anoint Jesus. And then they get there and they find out that the body isn't there. They don't include him in his plan. And I just want to ask you this morning, you know, in your daily planning, in your weekly planning, in your monthly planning, in your yearly planning, how involved do you get God in your planning? How involved do you get him in your planning when you plan? Or do you just set out and do what you think you have to do because the plan seems... Don't get me wrong, it sounded like a good idea to go and anoint Jesus. It's an amazing idea to go and anoint the Messiah. It's a great idea to go and anoint somebody who means a lot to you. I'm going to anoint him. But it's a great plan. But how many of you set out with a plan without first consulting God? Or just because it sounds good, or just because it really feels like that's what you have to do, or just because you've got so many people supporting you, doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good idea if you don't stop to consult God. Yeah. And so you get there, and then they find out that what they were looking for is in there after all. Yeah. You know, and that's why I want to ask this one. How many of you involve God in your daily planning? You know, as we go into 2017, you really don't want to go into 2017 without first consulting God on all the plans you have. You really don't want to do that. How many of us consult God? And so as they stand there and they realize that what they are looking for is not there, the first thing that hits them is what? Disappointment. Because what they are looking for is not there. Disappointment. And then they get worried, they get confused. Oh, so have I come this far for nothing? Have I come this far for nothing? Has all my efforts been in vain? Why? Because they chose to ignore what God said previously. Yeah. Have I come this far for nothing? And they stand there, and suddenly two men appear, two angels appear. And then the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? I understand that Jesus meant everything to you. I understand that Jesus was the one who healed you when you were sick. I understand that Jesus was the one who provided for you when you had nothing. I understand that Jesus is your strength. I understand that that job means everything to you. I understand that that business means everything to you. I understand that that relationship means everything to you. So I understand that you are looking for the right thing, but you are looking for the living among the dead. You are looking for the right thing, but in the wrong place. That's what he was saying. You are looking for the right thing in the wrong place. So yes, I know that business is important to you. I know that relationship, but you're looking for that relationship. You're looking for it in the wrong place. That love you're looking for, it's a good thing, but you're looking for it in the wrong place. It's completely in the wrong place. And this morning, I feel like God is saying, look, before you take the next step, remember what I've told you in the past. Before you take the next step, don't forget that I said that I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Before you take your next step, don't forget that I am with you to the end of time. Before you take your next step, don't forget that I said, surely my goodness and my mercy shall follow you. Before you take that next step, don't forget that I said, I am the one who heals you. Before you take the next step, don't forget that I said that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Don't forget that. Don't ever, ever forget that. Before you take the next step, don't forget I said that all things are possible to him that believe. Before you take your next step, don't forget I ever said that, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And that's what he's saying to someone this morning. So before you take that next step, stop to consider what he said. Stop and consider what he said. Don't just move ahead because you think, wow, it's an amazing idea. This is a brilliant plan. I feel like I have to do it. And then just go ahead and do it. Stop. Pause a minute. It says, don't you remember what he told you whilst he was still alive? Don't you remember? Don't you remember he's told you all these things that I'm going to be with you? Don't you remember he said, I'm going to protect you? So why are you afraid? And don't tell me you believe because your actions are not consistent with what you're saying. And I'm guilty of this because at times I say I believe in God. I do all these things. And yet my actions are not consistent with what I say I believe. And that is where it reveals. It reveals the crack in what you say you believe. Because if you truly believe, your actions will be consistent with what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Mark chapter 25, you all know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Issue of blood, Mark chapter 25, or Mark 5 rather. Hopefully, let's see, I'll get that right. Mark chapter 5 rather, I think. Mark chapter 5. From verse 25. you know, yeah, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. You know, I was listening to this preacher. He's a very well-known preacher. Most of you know him. And then he said something. He said when he was in his early 20s, he met this really lovely lady that he wanted to get married to. And after praying and bringing the issue before God, you know, God said to him, "This is not the woman I have for you." And he found it hard to take it. He found it really, really hard to take it. So he prayed some more and prayed some more. And still God was saying, "This is not the woman I have for you." And then he'd pray some more, just believing, hoping that God would just endorse. Yeah. And then he completely decided to ignore God. Because he was in a relationship that felt good. He was in a relationship that felt right. So he completely ignored God. And then some weeks later, you know, finally the Holy Spirit convicted him. And so he calls up this lady and explains what is happening. And then they break up. They break up, and about 3 weeks later, he couldn't hack it. He couldn't bear it. So he goes back again, and then they come back together again. And then he said for the next 10 years, it was bliss. He said marriage was bliss. It was, and at some point he stopped to say, "God, I probably wasn't hearing right from you, you know. I mean, 10 years down the line, look, this marriage is bliss." It wasn't until I think the 11th year that sadly cracks began to appear in the marriage. By the 12th year, things were breaking down. 13th year, the woman said, "You know what, I want a divorce." And so she decides to take this issue to court. And this guy said, as he stood in front of the courthouse that morning, tears running down his eyes, he looked up and said, "God, why? Why this?" And then he said, he heard clearly, the Holy Spirit said, "I warned you 13 years ago, you didn't listen. You didn't listen. 13 years ago, I warned you, you didn't listen." But at times when we make plans and we take decisions, because it feels so good before, because it seems right, because it seems like everybody is in support of the idea, we don't stop to consider what God is saying, and we go ahead. And as a result, we pay the price. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Listen to this. You all know this story. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. She had heard reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe. For she thought, now when you read other versions, it says, for she kept saying to herself, "If I just touch his clothing, I will get well." Immediately, her flow of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body and knew without any doubt that she was healed of her suffering. Immediately, Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around and asked the crowd, "Who touched me? Or who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in around you from all sides, and you ask, 'Who touched you?'" And Jesus said, "Look, don't make me look stupid. I know somebody touched me because power left me. So don't make me look stupid. I know somebody touched me." And there was a reason why he was looking for the person, because this is what he had wanted to tell the person. So he says, and the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored your health." In other words, your trust and your confidence in me has made the difference between where you were before and where you are now. Your personal, your trust and your confidence in me has made the difference between where you were before and where you are now. Now, for 12 years, the Bible says, and you all know this story, for 12 years, this woman was in pain. She was in pain. 12 years, not only that, she was in pain, she was suffering, she spent all her money to get well, and at best, it got worse. Now, the interesting thing I find out here, it says, at some point, it says that she had heard what Jesus was doing. She had heard. So she knew that Jesus had the ability to heal her ages ago, because it says, can't remember what verse is that, it says what, 27, yes, it says she had heard reports about Jesus. So she knew that Jesus had the ability to heal her all this time. But she left it to the very end. When she got to the point where there's nothing else she could do, Then she decided to go to God. And at times we make God a plan B instead of making God a plan A. We wait till the very last minute before we go to God, which is wrong. And so she was looking for the right thing. Healing is right. And we all need healing at some point in our lives. Everybody, I don't care what you, we all need healing. She needed healing, which was the right thing. But she was looking for healing in all the wrong places. And I know it because everywhere she went, it didn't work. It didn't work. And the more she spent the money, the more things get worse. And at times we start a project and it doesn't work. And we keep pumping money and pumping money and pumping money, hoping it will work. And it doesn't work. And we realize that everything that we put into it, it's lost. That's where she's finding herself that day or that time. You know, she was trying to look for the right thing, but she was trying to look for it in the wrong place. She spent all her money. And until she surrendered to Jesus, then she finally got healed. But the interesting thing is, when she found what she was looking for in the right place, the Bible says instantly, things fell in place. She was okay. Now, when you look for the right thing in the right place, things just fall in place. They just fall in place like that. And let's check this out. It says, daughter, that's verse 34. Daughter, your faith, your trust, and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. That's lasting blessing. Lasting. Now, when you find the right thing in the wrong places, things are up and down. Today it looks good, tomorrow it looks down. Today it looks good, tomorrow it looks down. But when she found the right thing in the right place, the blessing was permanent. There's no need to worry anymore. There was no need. And I bet she'll look back and she'll say, had I known, but a lot of the times, had I known, it's always too late. And the Bible says, there is the way that seems right to a man at times. There is the way that seems right to a man. But it's only at the end that we find out that it was the wrong way after all. It's the wrong way after all. But once you find what you want in the right place, things fell in place. Look, you can find whatever you want in Christ, be it a relationship, be it a job, be it money, be it whatever you can find in Christ. And when you find in Christ, it's permanent. The blessing is lasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a clap. Hallelujah. Now listen to it. There's something else she did. She kept saying to herself that if only I can touch the hem of his garment. She kept saying to herself. She kept repeating that to herself. You know what you tell yourself, you believe eventually. Your body actually believes what your mind says. Your body believes what your mind. So be careful what you tell your mind, because your body believes that. And she kept telling herself. I remember some time back in Life Changes, we were talking about the power of the tongue. And I was sharing how years ago I was at my friend's house when I got news that my dad's mom had passed away. And I thought the next thing to do is to call my dad and let him know what had happened so he could make his way to the house. I was at my friend's house, so I asked to use their phone. I called my dad and I said, look, this is what is happening. And then my friend's mom came to me and said, but what did you do? I said, I just told my dad that the mom has passed away. And she goes, just like that? I said, yeah, just like that. You know, I said, no, you don't do things like that. You need to, at times say things just to absorb the shock a bit because it's too much. And what I hadn't realized is that my dad was saying, when I told him, the shock and the impact was so strong that he couldn't do anything anymore. He felt so immobilized. He couldn't move for a long time. Nobody had touched him. Nobody had hit him. But it's just the shock of what I had said was so much for him that he couldn't do anything. And this is just words. Words. And so what you tell yourself, you believe. And then I remember one lady in the class said, I've got a testimony. I said, yeah, share it. She happens to work in a departmental store where she is in charge of the clothing in that shop. And she says every single time she would dress up the clothing, there's this boy like 4 or 5 years old. He would come in and trash the whole place. He would just trash the whole place. And this was going on for a long time. And one day she got fed up. Said, you know what, I'm just going to just go and scream at this boy. No, because the reason was that the mom was right there. And the mom never said anything. So she was so mad. And so she just waited for the guy to come in. And he did again. And then true to her word, she went to the clothing department, started wrecking things. And then she went over to her. I said, "What? Did you hit your head against a stone?" No, I'm joking. She didn't say that. But she said, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this all the time?" And then this is the boy. My mom says I'm dumb. I said, "Oh, see, so that's what the mommy's been telling the boy. And probably the boy's been repeating that to himself all the time. And now he thinks he's dumb. And I bet you it's not only the shop he behaves like that. He probably does that in school, at home, and everything." And this sister goes up to the boy and says, "No, you're not dumb at all. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're very intelligent." And this young boy said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, really, you are. That really, that's what you are." And then she said she just left. Believe it, she said the next time when the boy came, he wasn't trashing the thing. He was rather putting the clothing into. He was doing that. Now watch this. And then next time he came, she saw her and he ran to her and he hugged her and said, "She says I'm wonderful. She says I'm intelligent. She says I'm brilliant." Just the power of words. Now this lady has changed, and this is Ida, she was sharing this. She has changed the whole destiny. She's changed the destiny of somebody just by words. Nothing. Just by words. So our words have so much impact. We've got to be so careful, especially when we speak to our children. You know, we've got to be so careful. You know, you scream at them, you tell them they're foolish, they'll grow up being foolish. You tell them they're wise, they'll grow up, you know. What you constantly hear, you eventually believe. So you've got to be really careful what you say and how you say it. It's really, really important. And so this morning, you know, let's go back to Luke 24 again, please. Luke 24, verse 1. So anyway, so these women are standing there wondering what to do. And then suddenly an angel appears, like we saw. The angel appears and says, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. He's made his way back to Galilee." And I believe God, in his mercy, sent those angels to tell them that, "Look, you need to change direction right now, because he's not here anymore. You need to change direction right now. You need to refocus. You need to go back to Galilee." And it's interesting because they came from Galilee. That's the very place they came from, was where Jesus was now going. Meaning if they had stayed there, if they had waited a little bit more, God would have come. If they had waited a little bit more, God would have come. At times we rush, we make hasty decisions because we think we are running out of time. We make hasty decisions because we don't know what we want. And as a result, we miss out. You know, so he said, go back to Galilee, because he's making his way there. So go back to Galilee. And so he came and redirected them, and they went back to Galilee. But you know, when you stop chasing the wrong things, you give the right things the chance to catch up with you. When you stop chasing the wrong things, you give the right things the chance to catch up with you. And at times we get so busy chasing the wrong things and completely ignore what God is saying. And we just completely oblivious to what God is saying. It's only when we are burnt out, when we are at breaking point, then suddenly we come before God crying and pleading. And God, in his mercy, sent those angels. Because I bet you, when they're at that tomb, when they found out Jesus was in the grave, the next thing we do was that they will start crying and start wondering, what's happening? So God, in his mercy, sends the angels and say, "Look, he's not here." Even though they knew he wasn't there, "He's not here. Just go back. Go back to Galilee, because he's making his way there." Listen, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Yes. Every good and perfect. If it's good and it's perfect, it's got to come from God. It says it's not by your might or by your power, by your wisdom, by your strength, by your scheming, and nothing to do with that. If it's good and it's perfect, then it's from me. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, please. This morning, I we've only got a few weeks to 2017, and you really want to start 2017 on a good footing. You really want to. At least I believe that's what God wants for us, and you really want to end it on a good note. But this can't happen if you forget all that he's told you in his word, or it won't happen if you choose to ignore his word. You know, there's no area in your life that his word doesn't cover. No area to do with your job, to do with your marriage, to do with your business. There's no area in your life that his word doesn't cover. You know, so I'm sure he finds it really interesting that we'll just take certain steps without even consulting him. without even consulting him. And I've learned to make it a habit. I've learned to make it a habit every single time to consult God. You know, it doesn't matter how trivial the situation is. A few weeks ago, I remember waking up in the morning, and I know it probably sounds silly, because I'd wanted to wear a suit to church that day. And I said, God, what do I wear? What do I wear? And I really wanted to wear a suit, but I felt that's not how he wanted me to, just to wear a shirt and trousers. So that's what I did. I just wore a white shirt and trousers. I only got to this place and found out that the whole place was flooded. And me, Prempeh, and a few other people, we had to start vacuuming and sucking the water out and cleaning and all that. I couldn't have done that in a suit. You know, it would be too cumbersome to do that. But it may sound stupid, it may sound trivial, but in every little thing, just consult him. Just make him know that he's part of your life. Make God feel that he's part of your life. Then he will show himself true. You know, don't think you know it all. Because you only get to the end and find out that it's all been in vain. You know, once a friend of mine came up with a business idea, and he came, he explained the business idea to me. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I put about £10,000 inside. Instead of consulting God first, I decided I was going to trust this guy. And ask me today, I haven't even seen a penny of that amount. Because, you know what? And I deserve it because I didn't stop to consult God. No. But you don't see these things. Solely at the end that you find out that, wow, you've made a big mistake. Guys, God is giving you the opportunity this morning. You know, we're already in December. And he doesn't want you to live through 2017. Maybe the way you did in 2016. Like I said, he wants you to start on a good footing and end on a really good note. He really does. God is a giver. On every level, he's a giver. On every level. You know, Job got it so wrong when he said God takes away. But I said, if he ever takes away, it's because he's got something bigger in store. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And you know, people talk about offering. Offering, you're not giving God an offering. You're returning what he gave to you. You're returning it. And as we stand in his presence tonight, you know, I don't know how your year has been. I just decided to be obedient and share what he put on my heart. So you know what it is in your area that, you know, you really need to consult him on. You know, whether it's a house, whether, I don't know. You know it. So as Janita plays, I just want you to do business. I mean, you've got about 2 minutes. Speak to him. You know? A good place to start is always to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I even took steps without first consulting you. And then you just lay everything before him. And you just watch. You watch how transformed your life will be from now on. Jesus, thank you so much. Can you raise your hand before God this morning? Father, I thank you so much for your word that you brought this morning. Father, I lift your children before you this morning, oh God. I thank you so much for the plans you have for them, Lord. And I thank you that, Lord, you've brought this message, Lord, to redirect them where they need to be. I thank you, God, that there's nothing the enemy can do to pluck them away from the plans and the purposes you have for them. I lift this coming year, 2017, oh God, every single one here, I lift, oh God, before you today, Lord. And I soak their year in your blood, Father, in Jesus' name, that it will be a year, oh God, of prosperity, God. It will be a year, oh God, that they can look back and say, wow, I trusted God and look how far I've come. God, show yourself strong in the lives of your children, whether they are students, whether they are workers, whatever it is they are believing you, God. God, show yourself strong in their lives and let them come out with great testimonies to God that will bring glory and honor to your name. Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. And I thank you for the work that you've begun, God. Lord, have your way, Lord, and let your will be done in the name of Jesus.